right, guys, we're live. It is 10:41 a.m. It's on Patreon, 11/19/2022. I'm not sure when this will go out because we have so much stuff going on this weekend. But if you're a Patreon member, I'll try to get it out quick for you. I'm with Austin Lane, best of the best, and we picked a match from, well, Austin did, from Crown Jewel. We had talked about doing one match, which we may go back to that match. It's getting a lot of talk. But you wanted to do the Logan Paul match. And the first thing I thought of was, let me just clear, I'm a Logan Paul fan. I really am, of his wrestling. And I know you are too. But, and I find it that a lot of workers, people in the business, they really thought he did a great job and fantastic. And this is his third match, blah, blah, blah. But then it was the fans, the actual fans, people not, you know, in on the inside kind of thing, that did not seem to – they just haven't warmed up to him yet. Why do you think so?
Well, I mean, I think honestly that wrestling fans, you know, they have a sense of ownership about the wrestling business. You know, it's, they're territorial. They see something that coming into the wrestling business and it's coming into their house, you know, to their wrestling business. And a lot of times, especially, it's probably a little bit of the hate, you know, the social media and some of the controversy that himself and his brother probably, you know, have put on themselves. Let's just admit, I mean, they have, you know, brought it upon themselves. But I think a lot of times wrestling fans just, they can't look past that. It's always, you know, hey, he's an outsider. He's coming into our business. We don't want to see him. You know, we don't want this on our television. And despite that, I mean, like you said, he's done an amazing job. We were talking about how, you know, this Crown Jewel, we were planning on doing the big man match, you know, of Braun Strowman and Omos. And we were talking about doing that because everyone was talking
about it. They shit on the match, yeah, but I don't think that – and I think it's going to be a good match for us to go back to for people to – gosh, even people that's been in the business for a long time – you're going to have want to listen to us talk about the big man match because it was done to exactly the way it should have been done kind of thing. My camera's doing something weird too. This software changes and all of a sudden. So guys, I'm popping in and out, but I'm still there. I don't know what's going on. But
Speaking of get off my lawn and not wanting to update Coach BT over there with his new software.
Yeah, I know. brand new. No, they do that. They'll update it. My camera's auto-focusing for no reason. They do that without you even, like, they did it last night, and I come in here and go, where's the buttons? But, yeah, I did. I just sounded like a really old man. All right, let's get it going here. I'm going to add it to the stream. We're ready for best of the best here. If you are watching this later on the YouTube channel of Memphis Wrestling, you'll see that screen blanked out. You can only watch it here with us on Patreon so that we don't get in trouble, put it that way. We have to blank out the screen, but you can also watch the actual match, the Crown Jewel from Peacock. You can go and watch along with us. I've got it started at the 306 mark, so I'm fixing to a 306.53, so very close to 307. Go ahead and I'm fixing to hit the button. 3, 2, 1. All right, we got some movement in the ring now. That little bar disappear in a minute for me and Austin. Talk about Roman Reigns for a minute. Tell me, it seems like the fans have come around for him. Here's a guy who's worked his ass off from day one and got a lot of boos and heat. And then now he's just, man, he's just so good. He's perfect at what he does almost.
Honestly, I think that he is the best thing in professional wrestling has had in years. I really do. This, you know, the length of his title reign, the domination, the way that he has elevated every single wrestler that he's stepped in the ring with. I mean, he's doing amazing work, and he has from day one. But the thing is around those times, you know, it's like we were talking about wrestling fans being territorial and, you know, get off my lawn and I want what I want. You know, at the time, you know, they were wanting like the guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, you know, pushed and they weren't getting it. You know, they were getting Roman Reigns and it seemed like they were constantly, WWE was constantly pushing them and pushing him down everyone's throats to the fans push back. And I think that over time, I think the fans have kind of realized exactly how great he is. And I think, you know, for years they wanted him just to just go ahead and give in. He's a heel. You know, he's not this, you know, clean-cut babyface. The fans got what they wanted, and, I mean, this is some of the best stuff that professional wrestling's put on in a long time.
I think SmackDown's the top show right now. I really love watching SmackDown, and it has a lot to do with that man and the Usos. We start the match, so let's get into the psychology. We wouldn't want to start this match on fire, would we? We wouldn't want somebody to jump in, so they're taking their time. Tell me about just taking your time to get the match started.
Okay, so what you want to do is, especially with this, because going into it, it was one of those where no one expects, you know, Logan Paul to win the championship from Roman Reigns. So what you got to do right off the bat is you got to establish that Roman is the more powerful, the experienced guy, and just the little things that they're doing in the ring is showing exactly that. If you look, just I mean, his facial expressions, but you notice that, you know, Logan Paul is showing a lot of speed. You'd like to call spots to where, you know, you really showcase his athletic ability, but at the same time showing exactly how cocky and how Roman Reigns should win this. I mean, the very beginning of it, you know, the clean break and smiling and high-fiving and Roman Reigns just taking his time. Plus, you want to start slow, especially with the guy as green as Logan Paul, because, one, you can also – react to the crowd, and as you're going along, you can, with these lockups and taking your time, you can talk to Logan Paul and, you know, get him where he needs to be in the match to tell the story. If you start out hot and heavy, you go hot and heavy, both guys have to pretty much carry their own. I mean, you go hot and heavy, you've got to be able to, you know, for one, you got to be able to go for somewhere from there. I love this spot right here. Shows the little things like that. It shows that this spot right here, I'll explain to you. So Roman Reigns, very beginning, showing his power, showing that he can out-wrestle. But then real quick, reversal on it, a lot of time what it's doing is it's showing you that Shawn Michaels, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on that he was training Logan Paul. So that little spot just shows that, you know, Logan's, you know, picking up on wrestling. Then right after that, you know, the very quickly – Roman cuts him back off. A lot of times that'll happen during a heat spot. We'll call that like a false hope where
babyface he'll cut him off. Yeah,
and then cut him right back off. And then you notice they're trying to get over the, you know, all it takes is one punch. One lucky punch could do it. He comes up swinging, you know, just a haymaker. And, you know, it's a lot like you'll see a lot of times at the beginning of matches, guys go for their finisher and guys will duck out of the way or reverse it and not get to it just to establish that finish could end the match at any time. That's what they're doing right there. The haymaker that he throws shows that, hey, don't forget, one lucky punch, and you know, and I can do it. I can stun the world kind of thing.
And I mean, it's just this is a slow, methodical way of getting the match started. And I love the way you said perfect when it comes to somebody inexperienced, so you could talk them through some of that stuff that you wouldn't be talking through somebody that's been in there for a long time. So with this, you're having some time to actually talk, tell him stuff, and let's do this. So I'm going to ask you something. How much of this do you think they walked through? With him only having three, think of all of it?
I think probably 95%. I think a lot of the heat stuff that Roman will do, a lot of that, like, he'll kind of call in the ring. And like, are you seeing right here, we're going through. And I mean, you notice they're going right into some heat. I mean, because Roman is the dominant.
Sure. You want it. Yeah. You can't let somebody like that get a bunch of shine at this point. The very first, a normal match, we'd see sometimes a babyface jumps in and gets a lot of shine at the very front. Like you said, they started the heat almost immediately, because what you're doing here is you got to let Logan shine, don't get me wrong, but you can't let him shine so much on a guy that's got the experience and the way they pushed him.
Right, exactly, because you can't have a guy that's, you know, been champion for, what, almost 2 years, and the most dominant thing that they've had in the wrestling business since, what, probably Goldberg streak, and you can't have a YouTube guy come in, and I mean, you just, if you do that, you pretty much crap on the rest of your roster. And like right here, I mean, just these, all it is these little false hope spots showing. And a lot of times, what I would do is if I'm wrestling a guy you know, say a dominant guy, if I'm wrestling, you know, beautiful, athletic, so athletic.
He is.
Right,
he's so much so. He's but that, you know, that what's good about this, and I want to say this because we've talked about athletes. Sometimes the athletic person or the guy that's played football his whole life or whatever, it just doesn't it doesn't translate to being a great wrestler. Even an amateur wrestling, but here's a guy who's very athletic, a huge fan of wrestling. And what I want to say mostly about this is that his third match, he understands. He's smart about what's going on, smart about the psychology of it, which is, I mean, it's to say, you know, you can't say enough good things about Logan Paul for me, the way he works and everything, because the psychology part, you know, I've been told before it takes 3 to 5 years sometimes for someone to pick that up. And he's smart enough to understand it already. Oh, I love that out of nowhere.
Absolutely. I love that. I hate the camera shot. You know, being a producer now, you'd like to catch more of the move. But that's one of those that's just a producer, director kind of thing. But you want to make sure to get that shot. But like you said, what really got
I've seen that move somewhere. Where was that move at?
A few times, yeah. And they were joking around. I've seen a couple of memes, and it's kind of like Mjolnir, you know, only the truly worthy are able to pull it off, because they were showing CM Punk, like, messing it up. But so here's the deal. You know, you can see there's thousands of guys that are that athletic. I mean, even like the Bad Bunny, you know, his spots. Reason that Logan Paul is getting such praise from the workers, especially people in the business, is because if you watch it, it's the little things in between.
Right. We talked about that a bunch. Yeah. We made sure that people understood that on a couple of episodes. It's not only the moves. It's what we're doing in between the moves. And he's getting a shine right there. He got a shine right there until our hope spots, I guess, until Roma just cut him off. So,
yeah, and a lot of times, like with a bigger guy and a dominant guy like that, you want to use something big here and there that'll kind of stun him so you can get a little bit of shine in, and then he'll cut you back off until you build up to a point where a lot of times I'd like to use, like if I'm calling a match, I'd like to use, if I'm working like a Bret or a Tumor or – you know, if I'm working Roman Reigns, I'm going to probably, you know, he's going to beat the crap out of me. And it's going to be maybe like he goes for the spear or the Superman punch in a movie, and he hits a post or he hits the barricade or something like that. You know, that really shows the crowd, oh my goodness, you know, somebody may pull off the upset. But what really showed me with Logan Paul is the WrestleMania match. I mean, it's a really good match. The moment when he went up to the top rope and he did the Eddie Guerrero shake, and was working the crowd that way, and the facial expressions, that showed me that he had that it factor.
Yeah, I mean, that's what really showed me. There's little things that, you know, Memphis, the wrestling just did Stars of Memphis, the Future Stars and everything, a couple of shows, and I really thought about them a lot when I was rewatching this, because – the show, the guys have so much talent compared to, for instance, you weren't that good during your first match. I mean, God, right, exactly. These guys coming out of the school it's just, they're being taught very well, but they're also learning. You can teach me something all the time, but they're learning the spots of the face, like you said, the facial expressions, what to do between, what not to do. But they, you know, they were in there with Matt, people that could carry them. That's for sure. So what are we doing here? Do we, you know, us insiders like to call this a rest hold. Some of the people in the business don't like us calling it a rest hold. But we grabbed a headlock here, and that's always been my go-to when it comes to my guys. I would say, if you forget what you're supposed to be doing, if you want to slow it down, grab a headlock. So why did Roman Reigns grab a headlock right here?
Exactly what you said. It's a rest spot. It's one. It's also, you know, able to, you know, a lot of times with a younger or a green guy, you'll kind of break down the match in like segments. You know, we're doing this segment, this segment kind of thing. And a lot, it could have been just by the way they were putting it together. This right here could be him getting ready to set it to the next segment kind of stuff. It's calming him down. Also, the fact that, you know, they've been using a lot of, you know, time in between to catch their breath, but Logan's been going 90 to nothing for a while, and it's, you know, it's given him a chance to catch his breath.
Yeah.
And then you watch it right there. There's little things like that, like the, just kind of leaning forward, listening as he kind of walked toward Roman before he cut him back off. That's stuff that he's going to, over time, you know, eliminate. He's not going to be doing stuff like that. Just kind of showing that he's kind of feeding to it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people, there's little things that I saw during this match, too, that I, you know, would say, quote-unquote, green. But just, I mean, after watching, you know, this is his third match, I can't, you know, and he gets injured. We're going to talk about he's injured here, and when he gets injured and he continues to work. But it's one of those things where you think, well, you know, this guy's got a potential to be – this could be his full-time job. It really could.
Yeah, I think it really could. I don't think it should be. I think he should be more of an attraction.
You like maybe that? You like the idea of just him being an attraction instead of him being a state? Because what do you think? You're thinking the idea is that the new will wear off, or the attraction part will wear off if he works every show, right?
Right, yeah. And the more you work, the more mistakes, the more people are going to pick apart like some of this stuff. I think right now, the way they're doing it is really good. I think you can bring him in a little more, you know, maybe, I mean, nowhere near like the Brock Lesnar type of schedule or Undertaker type of schedule. I mean, he should be there. I just don't think that he should be wrestling every Monday night or every Friday night on Raw or SmackDown at all. I don't think he should be. I think that he'll get, over time, like you said, we've always had those, you know, sayings, you know, the cream rises to the top, or, you know, something like that. You're going to be able to eventually, over time, like, see those little small things are going to stand out more and more the more he does it. I mean, and at the same time, he's going to get better as he goes along. And then, all right, so you notice that, you know, he's very good right there. But anyways, he's having, each time the cutoff, he's having Roman miss something, which still at the same time gets Roman over even more. That, you know, that he's not cutting Roman off per se. He's
using other stuff. Yeah. I like that.
The little things like that, if you notice, like, there's different cutoffs or, you know, like double downs or whatever. Sometimes it's a double down just out of nowhere, the babyface hits something, or sometimes it's, you know, the heel misses something, or sometimes it's the duck and double clothesline kind of thing. Which, to me, I actually don't like that. Like, if you're in the heat and you've got a lot of heat, and then all of a sudden you clothesline the heel clothesline the babyface clotheslines the heel just out of nowhere, and the heel all of a sudden is down to the same level as the babyface.
I understand I like the double down to be, when it's the tag matches, to be part of the hot tag. Like the double down to be part of the going to the finish. That's where I see it as. When I see a double down, I want to think you're going to be going to the finish. Well, it might be an elaborate 3-minute finish or somewhat longer, but that's what. Oh, that's really sweet too.
Yeah.
But I want you to start going to the. But they did a double down like in the middle, and then they're going to let him get a bunch of hope spots here and a few near falls. It makes you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first watched this, I in no way in hell at first when I was watching it think that, and I didn't know the result. I didn't know the spoiler. I didn't think he was going to beat him. But the longer the match went, the more I started saying, what if they actually put Logan Paul over here? What the fuck?
Yeah, it seems exactly. Like,
but that was what they were trying to get me to think, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's the name of the game, you know. And the thing is that's why they were taking their time. That's why they're building up, and you're adding more and more damage to Roman Reigns. You know, it's kind of like, I love the – I don't remember who it was that I believe it was Cena that he worked the program with at SummerSlam, where he said, all I have to do is survive you, and I can beat you. All I got to do is not get you down for 3 seconds. I just have to survive the beating. And say, you know, and – let me explain what I was talking about, the double down. Like this one right here, this double knockout, this is fine. What I was talking about is I don't like the double down where there's a ton of heat And then, you know, maybe one or two hope spots was maybe like a sunset flip or something like that, where the heel hasn't taken much damage. And,
but
at
he's
all,
still
all
doing the double down on him. Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like the way these are perfectly fine, and these are great the way they're doing it right here. And just look, just working the crowd, the little stuff in between is what just really makes him stand out. The reason
that was beautiful, right there.
Beautiful crossbody.
He didn't even have to put that on there, but yeah, he did put a finishing touch there. But very, very good flying body press. We're building. I really like the way we just took our time with this. This is one of those matches. Everybody's at a different speed, but it's one of those matches where you're going to – here's what they're going to remember, the big spots. They don't remember that they took their time, Austin. No fan is going to understand that or remember that.
Right. But they're going to believe – it's the story. They're storytelling. Right, right. That's what – a lot of people nowadays, it's, oh, I got to get my spots in, or we want to have some really cool spots in the match. Tell a story. And that's what I love about this. They're telling a great story. Reason I asked to do this match rather than the big man match is because I think there was more of a story to show, you know, more things to talk about with a guy, you know, like this right here. There's some of that.
Oh,
you know,
that story they're telling there was a super kick that they were going to do with Shawn Michaels. And he didn't do the rock bottom, but that was kind of the message there with that right there. So,
yeah, you had Shawn Michaels just training him, and I think that if you notice there too, you know, it off just a little bit. You know, that's the greenness coming into it. It wasn't really a super kick; it was a more of here's my leg kind of thing. But that's just being picky, you know, someone in the business. And then of course, you know, the rock bottom. Everyone knows what that's hinting toward coming up. It's little things like that you like. I like to put Easter eggs in my matches as well, like for stuff coming up or stuff in the past to let people, you know, kind of find or figure out. It's kind of like, you know, the superhero movies, you know, you throw in those Easter eggs because, you know, it gives people talking, right? I mean, that's what we want, people to talk about it. So just look at the crowd reaction.
This crowd was awesome for this Crown Jewel. Probably the best crowd for Crown Jewel so far. They were really into everything. He's going for the Superman punch. He missed. Oh, we get the punch. We get the Paul punch there. And Roman.
And the crowd reaction.
Yeah, Roman did such a good job, too. Oh, again.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You taking.
Oh.
There we go. Look at the crowd. The crowd, now they believe. I mean, this is
the point to where I said, what's going on here? You know, I was, you know, hoping we kept on, and I don't know exactly what their plans are for Roman. And I'm always that guy that, and I discussed this with Dustin. I think sometimes you book yourself into a corner, and I don't know who could be put over in that position with Roman right now. I just don't know who would, you know, if you bring, you don't want to bring The Rock in to win the title, but who do you put over Roman as the champion?
Yeah, we'll go back to that in just a second. I just wanted to mention, if you notice first off, the facial expressions, the little things like, you know, Roman, you know, checking his ear, like he thinks his eardrum might be busted, and open his mouth, you know, to pop his ears kind of thing. The little bitty things like that, it's just so perfect. I mean, the realism that it brings to it. Like, if I punch someone, I'll shake it, you know, and check on my fingers or my fists, because, you know, you punch somebody, chances are it's a good shot of breaking your fist kind of thing. It's just the little bitty things like that. And then also the not just rolling out, like the selling, the way he sold out, and, you know, Logan Paul trying to keep him from getting outside the ring. You have to beat him inside the ring. The little things I absolutely just love the story that they're telling right now. Like, this is some of the best storytelling that I've seen on WWE television in a long time. I mean, I just love it. And of course, you know, you got the YouTube guy, the social media star. Here he's going to go over. He's got his buddies. You know, that video got a ton of views.
Yeah, unbelievable number. That I can't remember it was the most viewed social media post of the year so far. So far it is and it was an ungodly amount of, but it all had to, you know, had a lot to do with him. So
Yeah, a ton of it. And I mean, you taking that's what it's about, you know, getting eyes on the product, and especially coming around to WrestleMania season here coming up here shortly. You know, yeah.
See, but you don't see. I didn't even see where he hurt himself, but he did hurt himself there. That looked like it was a perfect bump, but you know, you've been the ones to jump from that distance before, and me move out of the way. But I didn't do that. Ran. I didn't do that. Stuff like that, I wouldn't know. But just looking at it, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But apparently, at this point, he is hurt.
Yeah, and you can see. So what's going on with this spot right here is they're taking attention away from Roman and Logan Paul. For one, they're you know, using this, you know, gaga, as you'd say, you know, toward the end of it to just to add to the match. But what they're doing is they're giving a moment for, first off, for after that spot, let both guys rest, make sure no one's hurt, that kind of stuff. They're getting the attention away from
Roman Reigns. Yeah. He showed
and it. So, yeah, he did. He really did. The bump, I talked to Nikki about it as well. Like, you know, you take a super kick or a clothesline, and the kind of jumping after you get kicked, a lot of times I'm not a fan of, but you well, know, that
looked,
that one
you
is,
know what I liked about it? It looked legit. It looked like he didn't ever train to take a super kick kind of thing. Well, here comes his brother.
Right.
Who just came off a fight for this one. Didn't he fight the night before or two nights before this? It might have been the week.
Yeah, I think it was the I think it was the weekend before. Before this one. In a winning effort.
Right. That's something that you know, it's almost like I think part of the people that hate the Paul brothers is that they've talked shit for so long and they continue to talk shit. But then guess what? I thought those punches were pretty bad, but he didn't want to hit them for real. but they back up their bullshit. It's the guys that's talking shit, and all of a sudden they back up everything. That makes them heels.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much the you know, they're the 80s Ric Flair is what they did. What they are, the, you know, he would talk so much trash, but he backed it up, and that's what people, you know, that's. The guys, especially girls hating, guys hating, but they hated him because.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Pretty, so pretty. Yeah, that is so
beautiful.
Pretty.
Frog splash if you're not watching it with the video going, which I guess you wouldn't do that on these shows, but that was a beautiful frog splash. Now we got a near fall and his brother yelling at him. I loved all this part of it. I love the idea of his brother coming down. Perfect spot for him to come down. As you said, we took all that stuff with the hits and the crew and the gaga, as you called it, and then we brought out still letting them rest. And so then we bring out Solo. This was perfect. Yeah, I thought this was done very well.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a lot because I haven't been able to watch a lot of SmackDown and Raw, but I don't know the way they're booking him on television, but from what I've seen so far of him, of Solo, he's been portrayed really, really well.
They've done really good with him. He's solid in the ring. The roots of him, just put it that way, when he's working. I think he needs a little bit more experience and he'll be there, but I mean, he's getting spots, you know. Oh, good spot there.
Yeah. I mean, that one is, you know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, you said that he was injured. I don't know if that's legit or a work or whatever, but I know that if you have a torn ACL, you're not going to be able to jump that, you know, that high off of it. And then, of course, getting ready for the finish, you know, put the baby face over really big at the end. You know, okay, here we go. And then cheating.
Three.
You know,
yep.
Two, three. Good finish. Both guys are over more coming out of it. And you were talking about the Roman Reigns deal. I honestly, I don't know. I'd like to see it go as long as possible. But, like, who would you see? Who do you see on, let's just say, on the roster right now for WWE
benefiting the most? I don't know who would benefit the most. I don't know who you could make believable. Man, I don't know. It would be hard to do. You know, in reality, you would want to bring, you know, like a John Cena or The Rock in, but they're not going to stay, so you really wouldn't want to do that. Also, you wouldn't want them to beat him on the first try because you built him so hard. You want that the second or third try for whoever who's going to do it. I think that, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Rocky storyline and having somebody come in, and I don't know the somebody where the first time, there's no way he can beat him, and he doesn't beat him. And second time, well, you book it to where you thinking, you got the fans thinking he could have beat him if, and then, you know, do the big pop at the end for the third time and have a new champ. But who? I have no idea. You know, they beat Brock. They beat, you know, I'm a huge Brock fan, but man, this feels like it needs to be somebody that they elevate. And I don't know if there's anyone on his level. And we got in trouble with this, WWE did with Cena at one time, because they had nobody else over like they did Cena. Nobody.
Well, I think that it reminds me a lot, honestly, of the WrestleMania streak.
Yes, it really does. Yes, yes.
Now it's like, yeah.
How do you get yourself really out? Yeah, how do you get yourself out of a corner there? All right, man. I hate to wrap it up so quick, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to end it right here. Stay with me, Austin, because with this new software, they're asking me for you to stay a few minutes. So here we go.
All righty.